Hi.
I'm Tim, and I had the privilege of being at GA for the first time in my life, and it was really something. And, yes?
Excuse me, what is GA? What are those letters?
Thank you, General Assembly. Thank you. So I went to General Assembly as one of your delegates, and thank you for allowing me to do that. And thank you, Mary, for helping us pull this together, and hopefully I won't bumble it up too much. I want to just say that it's been really hard getting to this place. And you know, people like Mary make it look so easy every week. Karen, they come up here and they talk and they read stories, and it all looks so easy. And it's like, I've been scared. Been really scared. Anyways, I'm with family, and it's so funny that I would be so scared with all of you because you know me. You've been with me for like 7 years now. But still, I've been thinking about fear and how much it lives in us and how much we try not to show it. And I'm going to just try to love it out, because I think the opposite of fear is love. And so I'm going to keep steering myself in the direction of love and look at all of you and see the love in your eyes, and that's going to help. So I'm going to tell you about GA for me. I'm scared that, you know, I'm not going to do this right, that somehow I won't report all the important things, but fortunately Lila's going to follow me, and she's going to get all the important things. I woke up at 2 in the morning on June 21st. My flight wasn't until 6 a.m., but I woke up at 2 in the morning and my stomach hurt. It wasn't nerves. I ate something the night before I shouldn't have eaten. It was a really rough beginning, and I'll spare you the details, but the 45 minutes it took to get from Madison to Chicago was probably the most uncomfortable 45 minutes of my life. I got to know this little bag really well on the plane. But anyways, things got better. I felt a lot better. I ate some cookies and some crackers and drank some ginger ale. And by the time I got to North Carolina, I was feeling almost normal and excited. The first woman I met was this New Orleans woman behind the shuttle sign-up place. She was an elder, somewhat elderly, a little older than me. Elderly, really. And every pause came with a baby. She was like, so baby, you're going to start out right here, see, baby? And then baby, you're going to go over to here. And by the time I found out and got my shuttle tickets, I think she said baby about 30 times. And I felt so welcomed and so scooped up, you know. It worked for me. I was like, thanks, baby. And then I made my way, walked through the big New Orleans airport and felt the warmth of the air. When I got out by the shuttles, it was just like this humid blanket that just wrapped me up, and it was really wonderful because I like hot, humid weather. I asked some people, found my way to the shuttle, and got on the shuttle, and I'm looking around, where are the UUs? And I look at the back of the shuttle, and there's this long, curly-haired young man with two circles and a chalice in the middle. And I was wearing my James Reeb chalice shirt, and I looked in his eyes and he looked at mine and smiled at each other and sat down next to him and just started talking and, you know, telling me he grew up in this beautiful tradition, and he was so excited to be going back and seeing his friends that he sees every year when he goes to GA. And I just thought, oh, what a lucky kid, you know. He was so wise, and so, I mean, he knew a couple languages. He was going to study Mandarin Chinese. I mean, he was fluent in Mandarin Chinese, and he was just the neatest guy. Anyways, I guess the reason I'm telling you this is that I through him at first, and then it really perked my curiosity. I was curious about UU youth, and at GA, you really get to see what an amazing organization we are. The youth are alive. They're everywhere. There's lots of them, and they love each other, and they're hanging on each other, and they're taking the podium, and they're speaking eloquently, and it was really beautiful, and it made me really hopeful for our future. So I made my way to GA, to my hotel, and got cleaned up a little bit, which I felt like I needed after my ride. And then I walked to the convention center, and all of these people are streaming in, some of them wearing things like this, some of them not yet. And there were, when I got inside the convention hall, there were, looked like hundreds of people. And I was like, wow, this is amazing. And as the day progressed, more and more people came. I went to a couple workshops. And of course, I'm going to backtrack a little bit. So part of what got me there is that, well, you all got me there. You know, this beautiful community got me there. But so I went as a staff member from First Unitarian Society, and of course in March we all got news that there had been this kind of crazy upheaval in our denomination when a woman of color inside the Southern District was passed over for a white male that lived outside of that district. And many felt she was very competent and qualified, and that she wasn't a good fit, really was probably white supremacy culture. And that spurred, and forgive me if I'm telling this wrong, but this is how it feels to me, it spurred an outrage within our community, especially amongst people of color and religious educators, and they called for teach-ins, and we had a teach-in here, and it deepened our work that we've started a long, long time ago. So at the same time that all this was happening in March, I was waiting to hear if I was going to get hired by the UUs, if the UUs would hire me, a very able-bodied, white, middle-class male, into a very white, you know, much like ours, a very white congregation. And I did. But I guess what I'm trying to let you in on is that I was having a lot of feelings about that, and wondering, you know, not wondering really, just knowing that it's because of white supremacy culture that I got that job, that I've got a lot of privileges that make it easier for me, made me the right fit for that job. And I don't even know if any person of color applied. I almost don't want to know, but maybe someday I'll find out. At any rate, I've had some feelings about getting that job at that time. It almost was, right at the same exact time I was offered the job, I was finding out about this. But, and the reason I tell you all that is because that really colored the whole feel of GA, as you might imagine. There was this sense that our denomination had this big crisis moment in our history, and our leadership, you know, some of our top leaders stepped down. An interim, three people were interim presidents. They were all people of color. And the theme of GA this year, and I don't have anything to compare it with, but the theme was very much about confronting white supremacy. And that's what I experienced in workshops. It's what I experienced coming to the generalist sessions. And not in a way that was like harsh. It was really very loving. It was like very, this is what we got to do. And we're doing the work. And we're doing it now better than ever. And it gave me a lot of hope. So we heard from people. Lila will talk about Black Lives of UU. An organization that's, you know, working to support Black lives within UU, and they were being mentored by this man named Dr. Matanguzi Sankiwa-Kika. Can anybody say that better than me? Probably. Anyways, in the 60s, and this is the part I want to share with you that I think is really cool, he was Hayward Howard Jr., and he was the first chair of the Black UU Caucus, or BUCK. And many of you may know this history, but it's all very new to me. It was alluded to a bit and touched on, and I was told that there's this video called Wilderness Journey that talks about the 60s. And I Googled it, and I encourage you to do it, Wilderness Journey. So this crisis around race is not the first one we've had, as many of you know. And in the 60s, we were called by Dr. King, as were a lot of congregations around the country, to come and be part of the civil rights movement. And some of us went. And then, of course, when James Reeb went and was killed, a lot of UUs went. And it's my thinking, and I can't say this is truly what happened, but I'm told that like 2/3 of the congregation sent people to the South. And that out of that, we became known as a congregation that was taking a stand on racism and working for civil rights. And our numbers swelled. If you look at the numbers of us over the years, in 1965, 66, 67, the numbers went up. And I'm told by, I think it was Dr. Sanchica, who was Hayward Howard back in the 60s, that in 1968, when he headed up the Black UU caucus, and there was a lot of controversy, they wanted to meet separately, and they had their demands, they wanted support, they wanted financial support, and there were a lot of UUs that didn't want them to be meeting separately, that was wrong, that we all had to be together, and well, we've done a lot of growth since then, I think. Anyways, Dr. Sanchica, forgive me for not speaking his name right, but pointed out that in 1968, about a third of the people, or maybe it was a third of the delegates, I'm not sure, were people of color, mostly African Americans. So we were really much different than what we're seeing today. And then at the end of the 60s and maybe the beginning of the 70s, many of them left because probably, I won't say for sure, but probably white supremacy culture was still so much within us that we didn't know how to support them well, our people of color members. And we still have to work on this, right? This is what we have to do. And that was what I gathered in every theme. We have to be able to say, we white people are racist. We don't mean to be. It's not what we would have asked for ourselves, but we are. We're steeped in it. We're breathing it. We're living it. And now we get to work on it. So that's one of the things. That's the main thing I got from GA, and it's going to rekindle my efforts to confront the racism within myself and to challenge it in my society. We can feel it's not just here in the UU. It's not just here at James Reeb. It's in the society out there. This is happening everywhere, and I'm so proud that we're part of taking a lead on this. We are part of this exciting movement, and it's kind of feels to me like a mad race, you know, like the Trump and corporate greed people are racing with those that would want to dismantle racism, dismantle all forms of oppression, and I'm hoping we can win. I want to just close by sharing a quote that I found that really gets to what I want to say. It's a quote by James Baldwin, and maybe you've heard it. He says, white people will have quite enough to do learning how to accept and love themselves and each other. And when they have achieved this, which will not be tomorrow, and may very well be never, the Negro problem will no longer exist, for it will no longer be needed. So, yeah, I think we have to stop seeing ourselves as different, stop being hard on ourselves, accept the fact that we're racist and we're steeped in a racist society, and keep doing the work that you've helped me to see that I've got to do. So thank you. Thank you for doing it with me. Thank you for joining me. And I think we might just get there.
Tim is just a little taller than me. Before I talk about the things that stood out most visibly to me at GA, I wanted to mention that Joan and I have shared, and I've laid out on a table out in the lobby for you all to look at, but not touch or take away, please, because there are things I purchased or that I want to keep. But it's kind of an adult show and tell out there. So after the service, please do look at some of the GA gifts and information at that table. And if you see somebody else or maybe a child later pulling the T-shirts off the table, please tell them to put them back because they're not for sale. I started out with about 16 things I wanted to talk about GA, and I've had to cull them way back, but it's just such an amazing experience. How many of you here have been to a Unitarian Universalist Association General Assembly? Excellent. That's great. I always get so energized at these conferences, and I learn so much. We elected a new president at GA this year, the Reverend Susan Frederick Gray, who 17 years into the 21st century is the first woman to ever be elected as UUA president, which in my opinion was long overdue. You may remember she came to Madison to do a sermon this spring here at REEB. I've known Susan for about 8 years through our work in Arizona on immigrant rights, trying to stop deportations that tear families apart in our broken immigration system, and saving the lives of migrants who are dying in the desert near the border. She will share, I know, her knowledge and skills on partnering with communities of color and on nonviolent civil disobedience in the new campaign launched at this GA by the UUA and the UU Service Committee, or UUSC. And the new campaign, you're familiar with Standing on the Side of Love, but we need more than that. And so the new campaign is called Love Resists, to expand the new sanctuary movement to as many UU congregations as possible, and to stop the increasing criminalization of immigrants, refugees, Muslims, and African Americans in this country. The recently created Black Lives of UU organizing collective was very visible at GA this year, helping to educate and activate white UUs so that we can join them as white allies when they ask for our help. They are asking all UU congregations to conduct workshops and forums on racial oppression and racial justice in the coming year. And I really hope we can do that here at REEB, and I truly look forward to it. It's very liberating and amazing how much I keep learning about this at every workshop and forum I attend. The Black Lives of UUs have also proposed that the UUA adopt an eighth UU principle, which will be discussed over the coming year and decided at GA next year. The initial draft of this eighth principle states that we covenant to affirm and promote, quote, journeying toward spiritual wholeness by working to build a diverse, multicultural, beloved community by our actions that accountably to people of color, dismantle racism and other oppressions in ourselves and in our institutions. While some white UUs may think that the first UU principle covers that, we need to be sensitive to the fact that for our UU brothers and sisters of color, the seven UU principles have not led to the dismantling of either overt or subtle systemic racism that would make all of them feel truly welcome and comfortable joining in any of our congregations. While we have many UUs of color in some of the larger cities, the congregations in some of the larger cities, That's not the case in smaller congregations. But it could be. It could be. Again, we need to learn how to see the world through the eyes of people of color rather than thinking we know how they feel or we know how they view things or we know how to solve this somehow better than they do. So next year when the eighth principle comes up, I'm going to show them trust and my respect by affirming some form of this eighth principle. The WHERE lecture this year was the most powerful one I have ever heard. It just blew us all away, and many of us had tears streaming down our cheeks. The speaker this year was Brian Stevenson, a criminal defense attorney and founder of the Pro Bono Equal Justice Initiative in Montgomery, Alabama, and author of an amazing book called Just Mercy, which was a community read last year. It's all about the innocent African-American men he has represented in court who were sentenced to life in prison or on death row for a crime they didn't commit due to the inherent bias of our criminal justice system and sometimes the corrupt DAs and police who planted false evidence on his clients or illegally withheld evidence that would have proven them innocent. And the suffering of these boys and men of color, their families and loved ones, as their cases dragged on for years on death row. I hope you all read this book if you haven't already. It's filled with amazing personal stories of courage and fortitude. As an African-American defense attorney, that is Brian, who has faced horrific racism and humiliation himself from some of the most racist law enforcement officers in the Deep South. If you go to the website uua.org and click on GA and the WHERE lecture, you may still be able to see the video of his very moving speech online. Despite this heartbreaking work, Brian said, quote, "We've got to stay hopeful because hopefulness is the enemy of justice. Our courts are more committed to finality and getting convictions at all costs than they are to justice," he said. I hope many of you will attend next June's GA in Kansas City, which is drivable, so you won't have to pay for plane fare. We have laid out some things at the table in the lobby, as I said, and GA is an amazing opportunity for learning, for growing spiritually and mentally, belonging to a powerful movement of love, justice, and resistance, sharing a lot of fun and laughter, and making new UU friends from all over the country. I guarantee you'll get energized by this new Love Resists campaign, and you'll be motivated to strengthen our congregation and change the world like never before.